Hello and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the classical music series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019 and 2020 season. The notes I'm reading today are for concerts by the North Carolina Symphony at 12 noon and 8 p.m. on Friday, September 20th, and on Saturday, September 21st at 8 p.m., all in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. These performances will be conducted by musical director Grant Llewellyn. Guests artists will be pianist Alessio Box and pianist Lucille Chung. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform Sea Sketches by Grace Williams. And the next piece to be performed will be at the evening performances only and not at the 12 noon performance, and that will be the Concerto for Two Pianos in D Minor by Francis Poulenc. And again, this concerto will not be performed at the 12 noon concert, only at the 8 p.m. performance on Friday and Saturday. And then following the intermission, Variations on an Original Theme, Opus 36, The Enigma Variations, it's called, by Edward Elgar. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, some information about our music director and about our guest pianists. Grant Llewellyn is renowned for his exceptional charisma, energy, and easy authority in music of all styles and periods. He has been music director of the North Carolina Symphony since 2004 and will become music director laureate in the 2020-21 season. A native of Tenby, South Wales, Llewellyn won a conducting fellowship to the Tanglewood Music Center in Massachusetts in 1985, where he worked with conducting legends Leonard Bernstein, Seiji Ozawa, Kurt Mazur, and Andre Previn. As assistant conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the early 1990s, he conducted at the Tanglewood Music Festival and on classical series and Boston Pops concerts. Llewellyn has conducted many orchestras in North America as music director of the Handel and Haydn Society, America's leading period orchestra. He gained a reputation as a formidable interpreter of music of the Baroque and the classical periods. Next, information about our guests, Alessio Box and Lucille Chung, the pianists on this concert. The real-life marriage of Alessio Box and Lucille Chung helps make theirs one of the most appealing and impressive piano duos of our time. In the words of the UK magazine Music and Arts, theirs is a marriage of wondrous colors and dexterous aplomb, subtly balanced to make a musical performance sound as one. Alessio Box catapulted to prominence with first prize wins at both the Leeds and Hamatsu International Piano Competitions, and now is a familiar face on four continents as a recitalist, a chamber musician, and a soloist who has appeared with more than 100 orchestras, including the London and Royal Philharmonic Orchestras, Dallas and Cincinnati Symphony Orchestras, and the St. Petersburg Philharmonic Orchestra. For his most recent appearance with the North Carolina Symphony, he performed Grieg's Piano Concerto in 2018. First prize winner of the Stravinsky International Piano Competition, Lucille Chung, has been praised for her stylish and refined performances. Born in Montreal, she made her debut at the age of 10 with the Orchestra Symphonique de Montreal and was invited on the orchestra's Asian tour as a soloist. She has since appeared with such ensembles as the Philadelphia Orchestra, Moscow Virtuosi, BBC National Orchestra of Wales, Seoul Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Israel Chamber Orchestra, as well as with all of the leading orchestras of Canada. These concerts are her debut with the North Carolina Symphony. Her solo discography includes Mozart and Me, Mendelssohn concertos, and recordings of Poulenc, Scriabin, Liszt, and the complete piano works of Gyorgy Ligeti. And now, information about the music to be performed. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform Sea Sketches by Grace Williams. Williams was born February 19, 1906, in Barry, Wales, died February 10, 1977, in Barry. This work was composed in 1944. The first performance was in 1947, performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. Mansell Thomas was the conductor. Now here's the story. Grace Williams, Wales' first prominent woman composer, was born into the family of two music-loving school teachers in Barry, a seaside suburb of Cardiff. Her father, the director of a local boys' choir, gave young Grace her first musical instruction and immersed her in the music and traditions of their native land. As a result, Williams' compositions are often deeply national in feeling, several, quote, folk melodies. They are also largely indebted to the British pastoral style she learned from Ray Vaughan Williams, with whom she studied while enrolled as a composition student at the Royal College of Music in London. Williams composed Sea Sketches in London in 1944, near the end of World War II, but it was not performed until she returned to her hometown in Wales 3 years later. She recalled, "I've lived most of my life within sight of the sea, and I shall never tire of looking at it and listening to its wonderful sounds. It must have influenced my music. Its rhythms and long flowing lines and its colors must have had an effect, not only on my sea music, but on other works not directly associated with the sea." Now here's some listening tips. Sea Sketches comprises five brief evocations of life and on and near the water, something of a pastoral British counterpart to Debussy's more dramatic La Mer. The first movement, High Wind, depicts gusts and currents. Sailing Songs suggest a smooth passage on gently undulating swells. The sirens of Greek mythology were the sea nymphs who lured sailors onto the rocks with their irresistible song. Channeled Sirens recalls the sea nymphs' mysterious voices and the softly murmuring menace they represent as they await passing ships. The foamy crash of waves upon the shore inspired Breakers. Calm Sea in Summer is like a miniature tone poem and is sweetly reflective. The instrumentation for this work is for strings. Next, on the Friday and Saturday night performances only, the North Carolina Symphony will perform the Concerto for Two Pianos in D Minor by Francis Poulenc. Poulenc was born January 7, 1899, in Paris, and he died January 30, 1963, also in Paris. This work was composed in 1932, the first performance September 5, 1932, in Venice, Desiree Defoe conducting with the composer and Jacques Fevre as soloists. Now here's the story. Poulenc, along with five other young French composers, Millot, Honegger, Auric, Taillefer, and Duret, allied themselves under composer Eric Satie's guidance to form a group known as Les Six, for the purposes of promoting performances of their works, encouraging a style of music suited to the troubled giddiness of the years following World War I, and having a bit of fun. Millot recorded in his autobiography that the group, along with poet friends, would make cocktails, and then we went off to a little restaurant at the top of Rue Blanc. After dinner, we used to roam through Montmartre, fairground, delighted with the old-fashioned roustabouts, the strange shops, quaint attractions, and eventually we returned to my home. The poets read their verse and we played our latest works. Many fruitful artistic collaborations may be traced back to these gatherings, and also certain works illustrating what amounted to the new music hall aesthetic. Indeed, insouciant wit and a sure sense of melody grown from popular musical sources are the dominant characteristic of Poulenc's early music. Following the death of a close friend in an automobile accident in 1936, a new strain of seriousness emerged in his later music. Abraham Veynou wrote, "Poulenc's tone is easy, urbane, popular in the sense that street song and cafe music are popular. He is a contriver of delightful witticisms, and while clearly anti-romantic, he is, within the limitations of his idiom, a composer of sensibility. Clarity of harmony, ease of melodic diction, simplicity of structure count much with Poulenc." These words are exactly applicable to the Concerto for Two Pianos, a work written quickly during the summer of 1932 at the request of the Princess Edmund de Polignac, née Juanita Singer, the American-born heiress to the sewing machine fortune. The concerto's premiere with the composer and Jacques Fevrier as soloist was reported to have been absolutely marvelous. The work gained an immediate popularity on both sides of the Atlantic and has remained one of Poulenc's most frequently heard pieces. Now here are some listening tips. The first movement. There are no fewer than 11 distinct themes that pass in medley-like parade during the course of the movement. Most are fast and saucy, sprung from the fertile soil of Poulenc's prized Parisian folklore, but there are two contrasting sections, one in the middle and the other at the very end, given to slower tempos and a certain bittersweet nostalgia. The second movement, one of the attractions of the Larghetto, is anticipating the moments when Poulenc pops out from behind the mask of Mozart. The deception is quite successful and quite lovely for many measures, but the true Poulenc emerges bit by bit, standing revealed for all to see in the movement's vivacious center section. Decorum and musical balance demand the return of the Mozart-like melody to conclude the movement, but the tune from the center section, given slowly, takes a final brief nod as a coda. The third movement, the finale, returns to the music hall mood of the first movement, though here the soloists are given even more dazzling feats of virtuosity with which to amaze the crowd. Another set of street songs is brought out for display, some tunes taking a second turn in the spotlight before being upstaged by another pushy thematic ingenue. The pianists are allowed one final curtain call during which they seem to elbow each other, musically speaking. After the battle of the soloists, the concerto has an abrupt ending. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two solo pianos, two flutes, one doubling piccolo, two oboes, one doubling English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, two trombones, tuba, percussion, and strings. And again, this concerto by Poulenc will be performed by the North Carolina Symphony at the 8 p.m. Concert performances on Friday and Saturday, and not during the 12 noon concert on that Friday. Then, following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform variations on an original theme, Opus 36, the Enigma variations are called, by Edward Elgar. Elgar was born June 2, 1857, in Broadheath, England, died February 23, 1934, in Worcester. The work was composed in 1898 and 1899. The first performance was June 19, 1899, in London. Hans Richter was the conductor. Now here is the story. Elgar's Enigma variations posits not just one puzzle, but three. First, each of the 14 sections was headed with a set of initials or a nickname that stood for the name of the composer's friend portrayed by that variation. Though the speculation on the identity of the individuals began immediately, Elgar did not confirm any guesses until 1920. The second mystery dealt with the theme itself. It is believed that the theme represented Elgar himself. Note the similarity of the opening phrase to the speech rhythm of his name, Edward Elgar, thus making the variations upon it portraits of his friends as seen through his eyes. Elgar gave a helpful clue to the solution of this mystery when he used the melody again in The Music Makers and said that it stood there for the loneliness of the creative artist. The final enigma, the one that neither Elgar offered to explain nor for which others have been able to find a definitive solution, arose from a statement of his, and this is a quote, "Through the whole set, another and larger theme goes, but is not played. So the principal theme never appears." Conjectures about this secret, hidden theme within the work have ranged from Auld Lang Syne, which Elgar vehemently denied, to a phrase from Wagner's Parsifal. The Dutch musicologist Theodor van Outen speculated that the phrase "never, never, never" from the grand old tune Rule Britannia fits the requirements and even satisfies some of the baffling clues Elgar spread among his friends. So the principal theme never appears. We shall never know for sure. Elgar took the solution to his grave. Now here are some listening tips, and this is an explanation of each of the 14 variations in terms of who for whom it was written. Variation number 1 depicts Elgar's tenderness toward his wife Alice. Variation number 2 represents the warming up finger exercises of a piano playing friend, H.D. Stuart Powell. Variation number 3 utilizes the high and low woodwinds to portray the distinctive voice of Richard Baxter Townsend, an actor with an unusually wide vocal range. Variation number 4 suggests the considerable energy of William Meath Baker. Variation number 5 reflects the frequently changing moods of Richard Penrose Arnold. Variation number 6 gives prominence to the viola, the instrument played by Elgar's pupil, Isabel Fiton. Variation number 7 describes the high spirits of author Troit Griffith. Variation number 8 denotes the charm and grace of Mrs. Winfred Norbury. Variation number 9, the work's most famous variation, is a heartfelt testimonial to A.J. Yeager, Elgar's publisher and close friend. Variation number 10 describes Dora Penny, a friend of hesitant conversation and fluttering manner. Variation number 11 portrays the organist George R. Sinclair and his bulldog Dan out for a walk by the river. The rhythmic exuberance of the music suggests the dog rushing about the bank and paddling in the water. Variation number 12 honors the cellist Basil G. Nevinson. Variation number 13 was written for Lady Mary Ligon, who was on a sea journey at the time. The solo clarinet quotes a phrase from Mendelssohn's Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage Overture, and the hollow sound of the timpani played with wooden sticks suggests the distant rumble of the ship's engines. And finally, variation number 14 is Elgar's self-portrait, recalling the music of earlier variations. The instrumentation for the Enigma variations is as follows: two flutes, one doubling the piccolo, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, organ, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2019 by Dr. Richard E. Rhoda.
You have
been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019-2020 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.